Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians. Chapter 1. We haven't gotten very far. Let me give the outline again to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians 1 through 3. The call of the church. By the way, you know what another name for the church is? Jesus Group. The call of the church does not take place apart from Jesus Christ. Nothing that we're preaching in Ephesians can take place apart from Jesus Christ, who He is and what He has done for His group. This is not popular in churches today, for many churches preach some really wild things because it's no longer popular to proclaim what the Word says. But nothing in Ephesians takes place apart from being in Christ. So there's the call of the church, Jesus Group, Jesus Assembly, and it's the highest calling. God did not even spare His own Son, says in Romans. Everything we're talking about the high calling of the church takes place because of what Jesus did on that cross 2,000 years ago. We're going to be going through this again. In chapter 4, there's a pivot. 4:1 is the theme verse. In light of the fact that in Jesus' group, you have been given the highest calling, walk worthy. Now, I'll be honest with you, the worthy walk is in chapters 4 through 6, and nothing more quickly ruins the testimony of God's people than an unworthy walk. People are looking at Christians, or at least those who name the name of Jesus, and I wish many of them didn't. And they ruin their testimony. I've told you, you know, Dave will not put a fish sign on his car, or follow me to Grace Bible, or this car will be unmanned in the rapture. Why? Because my wife drives terribly. I knew that would get me in trouble. No, actually, it's me. My wife's very sane. You know, whoever said that women are bad drivers, that is so untrue. Men, I'm on the freeway every day fighting down the freeways. Let me tell you something. The sane ones are the women, the men. And why is it, forgive me if you have one, why is it the white pickup truck guy that's always doing what they do? Have you ever noticed that? On the freeway, I have a rule. If there's a white pickup truck at 5 in the morning coming up on me, be afraid. Ladies, you drive sane. Men are absolutely insane on that. So don't be afraid about your driver's license and all of that. But anyway, we have the highest calling. It's ruined when Christians don't have that recognition that if God has given you and spared nothing for you in Jesus' group, you have the highest calling. It is so easy for Christians to ruin their testimony at times. That's why if we have the high... I knew a guy that loved to preach Ephesians 1 through 3, but the harder part is 4 through 6. Why? Because if he's given you the highest calling and you're obligated to have the highest conduct, guess what? That conduct, you got to be aware. And we've been looking at Ephesians chapter 1 as we've started this. We're talking, and we've hardly gotten into the highest calling. And the highest calling, we've been looking at things. That God is to be praised in Ephesians 1:3. Why? Because in 4 through 6, God chose. Now, there's nothing controversial in Ephesians until you start talking about these things. Because people don't like that. Well, Pastor Dave, did he not give us a choice? Yes, he did. if you want to put it that way. But nonetheless, God is in charge of salvation, and He has, as we're going to find out, He has a plan, and He's in charge. And you're responsible, but nonetheless, salvation is of the Lord. So these are the sovereignty of God and the responsibility of man or men, and I use that generically, are equally in play in all of this. We looked at this and we found out in verse 4 that God chose us. Why did He choose us? Well, Paul doesn't say. Here, at least, we went to other places. We found out He chose us because we're the worst. That's what I do not like about fundamentalist Christians. I don't like them. Now, I get in trouble. The elders are going to say, now, Pastor Dave, you need to let them know that we believe in the fundamentals of the faith. But I'll be honest with you, fundamentalist Christians, the way some of them act, are very, forgive me, they're repulsive. They walk around carrying their Bible and they're wishing everybody to be killed in an earthquake or to have fire come down from heaven, and that is not how Jesus wanted us to be. They look at everybody else and point at everybody else and say what everybody else needs to do, and they don't see themselves. I don't like fundamentalists. I never did. I believe in the fundamentals of the faith. Here it says, He chose us. In Him. Nothing in Ephesians, nothing in Ephesians can take place apart from Jesus Christ. So if I said to you today, here we go, I'm going to test you. Where do the chosen people live today? You know what some of you are going to say? In Israel. And I'm going to tell you that is not what the Bible says. Get mad at me all you want. I get mail, Chosen People Ministries. Well, guess what? The only ones that are chosen are those that follow Jesus Christ. I don't say that arrogantly. I don't say that in any other way than I'll be faithful to what the Word says. I don't care what theology books say. I tell my guys at school over and over again, your job is not to preach the traditions of men. You're to preach the Word. Nothing about choice. He chose us. Nobody's chosen if you are not in whom? So, every Sunday when there are true believers in Jesus Christ that assemble together, there are the chosen people. And apart from Christ, there are no chosen people. I don't care what study Bible that you use says. By the way, remember on study Bibles, I use one, remember on study Bibles have a line. Above this is the Word of God. Below that is the opinions of some preacher. And you know how much opinions of preachers are worth, including myself? Scubalon, thank you. But what happened was in the history of the church, some preacher got an idea, if we could put my notes on the same level as Scripture, guess what people will think? My notes as a preacher are just as good and more authoritative. There was a little old lady when I had my radio program. This one little old lady, this lady wrote me and said, I was trying to tell this what the Word said, and this little old lady kept pointing to the bottom of the... But she says, my Bible says, and she pointed to the bottom of the Bible. And there was that line, and she was pointing to the notes of some crazy preacher. And what happened was, she thought the notes below the line were just as important as the notes above the line. They're not! Now, do I say not to use a study Bible? No. But I say when you get below that line, I would laugh at half of those notes. They have no authority. And they're someone's guess. I tell the guys at the school, you know what a sermon is? Ready? And I'm knocking myself. It's an opinion. And if that preacher doesn't preach what the Word says, in the Word here, above the line, thank you. He needs to be in the Word. The Word says that you are chosen if you are in whom? And the Word says this, if you ain't in Christ, you're not chosen. Do Christians say that arrogantly? No. We say, come to Jesus Christ. You're responsible to come to Him. You want to be chosen? Say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus said, whoever comes to me, I will in no wise cast out, and whoever believes in me will never be disappointed. How do you know you're chosen? You respond to Jesus Christ. That's it. There's no magic here. What if I believe and I'm not chosen, Pastor Dave? No, if you believe, you are chosen. How does that work, Pastor Dave? Don't know. God didn't tell us everything. You're responsible. Believe. I had a guy, I told you. I would say, have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner? And after I said that, right after, he would grab his Bible when I closed in prayer and charge my pulpit and say, you can't say that. Because he believed such that there was no personal responsibility. You want to be chosen? Trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. I want to stress this. You have nothing apart from Jesus Christ. We don't say that arrogantly. I'm just preaching what the Word says. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But you can get to God other than by me. I am the light of the world. Everything takes place within Him. And anybody can say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner, and you will be a part of the chosen people. That's what the Old Testament was about. God was preparing for Messiah who would call all men unto Himself. He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. Wow! 65 million years ago. 314.5 billion years ago. I'm going to ask Mark sometime. I've skipped the foundation of the world in most senses because I'm going to let Mark do a couple of minutes on before the foundation of the world to razzle-dazzle people to know you've been lied to. You mean to tell me, Pastor Dave, my science teacher would lie? He doesn't know it's lying. Listen, I'm in education. The biggest bunch of doofuses you've ever seen are in education. There's a magic trick that they do in education. They put a person's opinion between two pieces of cardboard. And then they think it's true. Just put it in a book. Education. Although this is really false. Lemmings don't do this. But do you remember the ancient Disney show where the lemmings are going like this and they go over the cliff? That's education. Let me tell you why they only believe in evolution. Because they won't let anybody graduate who says, I don't believe in evolution. They won't let anybody publish if they don't believe. That's really, science means knowledge. That's real knowledge, I'll tell you. It's controlled. And why do the elites want you to believe in evolution and that You are a random blind chance because they want you to be subservient to the elite controllers of this world. See, if you believe in God and that God created, you answer to God. You don't answer to these elite controllers of the world. They're playing a game with your mind. Oh, they wouldn't do that. Oh, yes, they would. This whole world is controlled spiritually by dark forces that do not want you to be chosen in Jesus Christ. So the word chosen in Him means you are no accident. God planned. But if you believe in evolution, you're a mindless random chance from an amoeba to a man. That's nuts. I love it when they get these guys that...
I'm a PhD from Cambridge and Oxford University, and my ancestors were monkeys.
You know, I'm going... And then...
Oh, you're a fundamentalist idiot that...
Listen to me. Your DNA is programming. Four amino acids that can do all of this. If that's programming. If there is a programming DNA in you... There has to be a programmer. Well, who programmed it? Listen, you're no accident. If you've trusted in Jesus Christ, He chose you. Now, you may not like the way life is going, and I understand that, but God has a plan. You're chosen, and He's working out the plan. Understand that you were no biological accident. You're here because God's planned something. Don't let them tell you any otherwise. Otherwise, if you're an accident, the elites, the controllers of this dark world want you to follow them and to be dependent upon them. Don't do it. Chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. Why? Here's the purpose of why you were chosen. That we should be holy and blameless before Him in love. All right, Christian, how's the church doing? There is why you were chosen to be in Christ. Because God is what? What does the Bible say is the essence of God? God is?
Love.
Now, He's holiness, He's righteousness, and yes, but God is love. And His children then must reflect His?
Love.
How are we doing as a Jesus body in love? I think the church is a miserable failure. Fundamentalists, you know, here we go again, Pastor Dave, you're doing this. They love to talk about sending people, pull the lever and send people down. No. Jesus was a friend of sinners, and you know who Jesus didn't like? We did this in Sunday school, everybody. The one that Jesus didn't like and had a special dislike of, do you know who it was? Pharisees. And who were the... They were the pious, separated ones. They walked around with a suit. And a tie, nothing personal, guys, if you have a suit and tie on. Suit and a tie, carrying their Bible. Oh, don't touch me, I'm righteous. Oh, I'm holy. And Jesus absolutely nudged those people. On the Sabbath, Jesus healed to make them mad. Jesus forgave sins, we saw today in Luke. Why? Because He didn't like these people. Yes, there were people that Jesus didn't like. Did you know that? And you know who it was? It wasn't the sinner. It wasn't the tax collector. It wasn't the most moral reprobate. I'll tell you who Jesus really didn't like. And I think I am demonstrating that in Luke. It's the holier than thou Pharisees. And He told a parable. The most self-righteous guy went up to the temple and the worst guy went up to the temple. And Jesus said the one that was justified was the worst guy in the world because he said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. I can just see the Pharisees taking notes on Jesus. They were going to get Him. He chose you to be holy and blameless in love. So the thing that Christians really need to be concerned about is not what study Bible you carry. Not what bumper sticker or not what Baptist church you go to. Let me hit the Baptist. This used to be a Baptist church, so I figure I could do that. And thank God many of you are not from a Baptist background here. Jesus says, "By this shall all men know that you're my disciples." How? Then he says this. Chose us in him before the foundation. In him, I keep wanting to tell you that. You want chosen people ministries? You look in the mirror if you've trusted Jesus Christ. That is the chosen. And then it says in verse 5, he predestined us. You know what evolution says to you? I feel sorry for the kids. My kids go to secular college. These rabid professors, they come home saying, "Dad, these guys are up there teaching biology, and the first day in class, they start hitting on all of you Christians that believe that other kind of thing. Don't bring it into this classroom." And my kid says, "What do I do?" And I am thankful that I'm now learning what they try to do to the kids. Imagine being told you were just a mindless accident. And by a series of random chances, your two parents met. And here you are, and there is no God. And listen to me. Look, you're no surprise. You are no surprise to God. He knows all about you. Not only did he choose you, but he determined that you would be here. This is looking at the sovereignty of God. Now, we can't explain a lot of things that go on in this world, a lot of crazy things, but it says here, if he knows all about you because he predetermined that you would be here. You may not like the program you're in. Everybody gets born into different circumstances, but you're no surprise to God. He's all aware of you. He planned you is what this means. That's why so what did I tell my kid? I told him, keep your mouth shut. It's not going to do any good to convert that professor. But the last laugh is a person that would say that all of this is by mindless chance. He predestined us. Who is us? Those in Christ. This does not apply if you're not in Christ. Okay? Everything in the New Testament takes place through the Lord Jesus, the Mashiach, Jesus Christ. The Messiah. He predestined us to adoption. Adoption. He's not talking about the way you understand adoption. There's a terrible circumstance going on in Santa Clarita where a little girl raised in a Christian family adopted, after 6.5, 7 years, was taken out of her home and sent away to live with strangers due to some technicality. Can you imagine that? It says, if you're in Christ, he planned you for adoption. Now, wait a second, Pastor Dave. Aren't all people God's children? Well, that plays well in a seeker-sensitive church. But I can't do that. Because that's not what the Bible says. That's not what Jesus taught. We don't say this in a mean-spirited way. Because anybody who responds to Jesus Christ and says, Lord, this becomes true for them because the word says it. But you mean to tell me, Pastor Dave, when I'm born into this world, that I'm not a child of God? No. You know what the Bible teaches? This is tough. This is why you'll never hear it from somebody on television in the Houston Rocket Dome with 70,000 people. Because it doesn't play well to 70,000 people. Big churches are built off of watering down what the Word says. I can't do that. This is what the Bible teaches. There are two families in this world. First of all, we all go back to Adam and Eve, whether, Mark, they want to admit that or not, there was an original mom and dad. We don't look alike on the outside, but we all are. We're all genetically related to two original parents. And they were son and daughter of God when God created them. The Bible says, though, that Adam and Eve rebelled against God. I love what Adam did. God said, you know, Adam, it's not good for you to be alone. I'm going to make you the most beautiful woman in the world. Her name's going to be Eve. And then when he did sin, he turned around and said, Lord, you're the one that gave me this woman. I'm going to be in trouble when I get home anyway. And here's what happened. Everybody since that time is born into one family. And I'm sorry, but I'm going to tell you what the Bible says, and some of you may not like it. When you're born and you don't know Jesus Christ, it says there are only two families in this world, children of Satan and children of God. Let me show you where it says that long ago. Only Cheryl can tell us if you've responded to Jesus. But in 1 John chapter 3, here is where John sets forth, and this is consistent throughout the New Testament. It says this. 1 John 3. By this the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. So you mean to tell me after Adam, because Adam rebelled, guess who gained control of this world? Satan. Nobody believes in the devil anymore. I'll tell you who does believe in the devil. You don't know how much demonic possession is increasing, that many churches now have to be hiring extra staff. They even went and exorcised the whole country of Mexico recently. This will only get worse. There are only two families in this world. If you have trusted Jesus Christ and you're in Christ, then you are God's family. If you haven't trusted Jesus Christ, here's what the Bible says. Who's your dad? You know, we're all born stuck with the daddy we get. I got a good dad. He was crazy, but he was a good dad. Well, it's just like that. If you're born without Jesus Christ, your daddy is the devil. You don't get to choose your dad, do you? Well, you didn't get to choose your dad there either. You're born. Now, you may not be as bad as you could be, but guess whose family you're of? Now we go back to adoption, and I got to quit because I'm running out of time, but the reason why God adopts you is this. When you're born into this world, whether you like it or not, your daddy that you were born to is the devil. And God says, I have to adopt you I have to get you out of that family. And next week, I guess we'll take up this wonderful term adoption, which really says that everything that God has been given to you, but it only takes place in one way. Ready? In Christ. And He adopts you. And He says, I don't want you to be a part of that family of Satan. And He raises you up to the most wondrous position of His own child that there can be. And that's what we'll continue with next week.